Welcome back to the Dylan Harper Show. I am your host, Dylan Harper, on KSFS. Joining me now for the last hour of my wonderful show on your wonderful Friday, weather's beautiful out there, is Travis McKinnon. Travis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. You know, I'm still, it's 6 o'clock and I still kind of feel hungover from last night.
Really? So that's quite a, I heard you guys had quite an evening.
Yeah, you know what, we did, but I'm going to bring the energy. I'm gonna reach down deep and I'm going to find the energy.
I can always count on you for energy. And one thing I want to, before we get into the deep parts of this interview, one thing I want to ask you is you had some interesting check-ins on Facebook last night.
Oh, that's
checking
fun.
The app, including a church, an elementary school, some other places. So what were you guys doing at
these
churches?
Okay, so... I was with a couple KSFSers last night, and we were actually sitting at a bar, and we all went on Facebook to hit check-in, and we decided not to check in at the bar, but to see what else was in that general area. So we all checked in at three different spots, and I think we got our nails done, I think we did something crazy at some elementary school, and then something else happened. I don't know.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Okay, so I'm not from Chico. I'm from Paradise, California, which is a very small town above Chico. But I just say Chico because you guys have heard of Chico, you know?
Plus,
when I say Paradise, most people will think I'm messing around with them, you know, and be like, oh, you're from Paradise. I'm like, yeah, I am from Paradise.
Seriously, a town called Paradise.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
So
what was it like growing up there? What kind of town is it?
It's a very rural town that has very bad politics. It's like, I'm not talking about Chico. There's a vast difference between Chico, which is a college town, and brings obviously a whole different feel to it. But Paradise is a very redneck, Republican, low-income area. It's a beautiful area in the mountains, surrounded by canyons and rivers, and it's gorgeous. But overall, it's people who have stayed in Paradise their whole life. And I don't mean that, you know, I probably have some friends listening right now, but I love Paradise. It's just that, like, it's a place where dreams go to die, kind of, you know?
Dream on, dream on, dream on, dream on, dream on, dream on.
Did you play sports in high school?
I did. I grew up, my dad was a pretty major athlete. He's in the De La Salle Hall of Fame for,
really?
He's the first player of the year at De La Salle ever.
Wow.
He was in the first graduating class.
I am familiar with that school and their evil football ways.
Yeah, totally. So I just grew up, my dad was definitely a jock, but he's a college professor, teaches English. So I had kind of like both sides of it. He was, you know, pushing sports, but also pushing knowledge. And I definitely played a lot of sports my whole life, played football, basketball, baseball. I had to stop my junior year of high school. I tore my rotator cuff.
Yikes.
And it was done. But you know what?
That's brutal injury.
It opened a lot of opportunities. I was really bummed about it. But also, I had kind of found that the jock mentality in Paradise and all the people I was hanging out with really wasn't the scene that I wanted to be a part of. And honestly, like when I got injured, I stopped playing sports. I started getting really into music and production work. And it just opened up this whole other various opportunities for me to pursue.
Now, while you're in high school, I'm guessing, or soon after, you said around 18, 19, you formed your first hip hop group. Tell us about that.
Well, the first one was me and my good friend Cody Goodlife. Listening, what's up? We were 17, man, and we had our first recording studio was literally an empty box of Natty Light cans. It was like just an empty cardboard box that we like jammed a microphone into the side of it, and it plugged directly into the 1/8 inch back of my computer, and we record in the worst program, and we would be blaring the beats out of a stereo, and the microphone had to pick up our voice and the stereo, so it sounded horrible.
I'm imagining you just put your head in this box and record.
The box sat on a table, and it had the microphone, and it was a really cheesy mic stand, pretty much.
That's a MacGyver status, though.
Absolutely.
It worked.
So it kind of started from there, and then we built upon that, and it got more and more quality, and every recording we were getting better as writers and as producers, and There's not a big hip hop scene where I'm from at all.
Shockingly.
Shockingly, all white mountain people. So we were kind of different and special, and like it opened up a lot of social opportunities, and we started playing a lot of parties, and then we went with a live band behind us, and it kind of changed everything.
Clock goes ticking, it's time to run. Another Friday night and it's just begun. Provoked thoughts here, testing fate. Another song starts and it's getting late. This one's about the circle, about the fight and about the cycle. You know how we approach this track, like addicted personality, we coming back. Yo, through life we grow and change. We alter course to avoid the rain. That just is a bigger storm, so we change ourselves to become the...
I am newly an uncle.
And how is... I've seen some pictures.
He's a cutie.
With a rather cute baby.
Yeah, he's a cutie. It's pretty awesome. I've never really been around children, and I've always... It kind of sounds weird, but I was always the youngest one in my family and friends' families and all that. So my sister had a kid with her husband. They're 31 almost, and... So they have been married for like 8 years and finally had a kid, and it's been awesome. Just
nice. That do you get to see it often? Or they live?
Yeah, they live
here?
In Berkeley, which is nice. So I try and go over there at least once a week, and
that's awesome.
You
know,
yeah.
Do they give you a lot of parenting duties to you get to change it?
No, actually. We were talking about diaper changing recently, actually before the baby was born. And they were saying, like, hey, you're going to be changing diapers. And I said, I don't think I'm going to be changing diapers, guys. Like, hey, I'm going to love your baby, but I don't think I'm going to change his diapers.
That's a negative.
And so they asked one of my friends who was recently an uncle right there, and they're friends with his sister. So they were like, you know, have you had to change babies as an uncle? And he's like, hell no, that's not my duty. I asked my cousin in front of them. He said the same thing. So I got off the diaper.
Staying
duty.
On that. That's good.
For sure. I'll give him love. I'll give him mad love, but I don't need to take it there.
And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then.
Now you recently have come into some new jobs. One I want to focus on particular, but first, you're working with the Warriors right now, and I saw a picture on your Facebook. Facebook is such a good tool for interviews. You're taking a picture of the camera, and the camera's focusing the court. You said game time cam. Were you working the game cam?
Yeah, that's part of the job. It's a paid internship, so it's nothing too lucrative right now, but we have four interns a night, and two of us are on the court wrapping cable the whole time for the cameras under the basket, so which is pretty sweet because we get to hang out on the floor during the game.
That's pretty cool.
And we only are working during timeouts, so we're just standing there watching the game
so
on the floor.
You just get to sit there.
And it's great because I'm an avid Warriors fan, you know, and so it's been like pretty much free season tickets for me, and I'm working like game
paid
for this.
To watch Warriors games.
Yeah. So, but if I'm not wrapping cable, I'm either up in the control room helping as an assistant, or I'm running the actual wide shot of the game camera during the game.
Now, explain for our less technical listeners what you like when you're running the camera.
Yeah.
Wide shot. You know, like what are you focusing on? How do you do it?
It's you're pulled out from the court and you're getting a lot of the action, at least half the court at the time, and you're tracking the ball, or you're getting what they call hero shots, which is if I'm on hero shots, let's say Monte Ellis goes in for a dunk. Mm-hmm. Right after he makes that dunk, I pull in super close to his face so my director can cut to that shot for just a half a second.
Oh, so they get like his like little reaction when they're going back.
Yeah, of him like, and when you watch games, they do that all the time.
Yeah, they always show him doing the point if it's like off an assist too,
exactly, that and that's called a hero shot.
That's cool, getting some new language on here. And now that's going to transfer over. You said you got it. Now it's switching to Giants when the Giants season starts up and the Warriors comes to a close, unless of course they make the playoffs, which we're still holding out for.
Yes.
You never know. But if the Giants, either way, when the Giants season starts, you're going to start working for them. Will you be doing the same type of camera work?
It's the exact same crew that I'm working with the Warriors, exact same people. We're just switching over to the Giants. So it's the same type of deal. The only difference is when you walk into the control room for the Warriors, it looks like it was built in 1963. Like the monitors look like they should be in black and white, you know? But the Giants at the All-Star game when they hosted it 3 years ago, they remodeled their whole control room and upgraded from SD to HD. And so everything, it looks like you're on, you would probably know, Star Trek, the ship.
I would know. I don't know.
I'm just joking.
Kyle?
No.
You know?
Anyway, Enterprise. Enterprise. There we go. Boom.
It's damn it, like, now I knew that. Now that just gets to sit there.
Exactly.
All right, now, the other job I want to spend some time on this, is you're working at a school for the blind. How did you get into that job?
You know what? So this Giants gig and the school for the blind just happened within the last 3 days. So I haven't started at the California School of the Blind. I'm probably starting next week or the week after. But pretty much it's an A position for blind kids who are 16 to 22 and helping them stay active in their community. But also the reason that I'm really intrigued by this position is they saw my resume and saw that I worked at KSFS, and they saw I had production work with the Warriors, and also I've worked with students at a different school, the Athenian School out in Danville. And so they want me to help them launch an internet radio station for their blind kids.
Really?
And they want it up in 2 years. And so not only is it sound like a great program, but it really might help me. I mean, I might be able to help launch a radio station.
That's pretty awesome.
And can you imagine giving like these blind students an opportunity to actually have their voice heard in the community? And like, and you know, obviously I don't know things about like Braille and how we would have to change equipment to suit their needs, but I feel like I could really help them just because of my experience here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you've been the operations manager here before. Obviously that's got to translate, at least help you translate over.
Yeah.
That's a really exciting project. Now, how did you even like come across that job?
You know, like any other job, you have a connection. And for every job in my life, man, I've looked for jobs. I've interviewed for jobs. I have, you know, Craigslisted everything. But every time I've gotten a job or an internship, it's been from networking and friends or family or something like that.
That's good. That's good advice.
Network. Anybody in any field, like, you guys just need to network. And like, that's where I am right now. The only reason I am where I am is because of the community I've been surrounded by here at KSFS and NZECA.
Some people have said that you have an obsession with Kanye West. And so just clear that out. Is it an obsession? Is he your favorite artist? What's your feelings on Kanye?
I've always liked being an MC, like in writing and recording and stuff, but I always liked that production work behind it more, you know, and that's why I think I'm a Becca student. And Kanye West, I think, is a genius at producing music. And the way he, I don't know, structures his beats to the way he structures his melodies to his raps, I just really enjoy. Him as a person, I could care less for. Like, I don't care about what's going on in the media or what he's saying and what people are blowing up. I really just look at it about what he's achieving as a producer.
So just from a pure music standpoint, he's absolutely one of your favorite artists?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you have a particular... Stronger is probably his most, this is not based on numbers, this is just perception of my friends, probably his most popular song, at least that I hear. Is there, like, just from a production standpoint, because we have your talented ear in here, what do you think is his best song overall?
Oh, man, I couldn't even say. I think I could talk about albums more.
There you go. All right.
I think, like, Graduation was stronger on it. I think Graduation is what got me into Kanye. I wasn't a fan of him for his first couple albums because he was such a pop artist, and I never listened to pop hip-hop. I always was super underground, local Bay Area. Even when I was in Paradise, that's all I would listen to. And so then when I was... 18 or 19, when Graduation came out, it all of a sudden opened up my ears to like how interesting pop hip hop can be. That don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now,
cause I can't get much longer. Man, I've been waiting all night, man. That's how long I've been on.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about your experience here.
Absolutely.
When did you take your first, or what year did you come here again? Your first year here.
Yeah, I came, I guess, 2.5 years ago.
So that was, what were we in, 11? So around 2009, 2008?
Yeah, it was fall of 2008. So I did KSFS my second semester. So I did KSFS for my show, Just Enough for the City. I did for 2 straight years on the station. And
so
then,
4 seasons worth?
And now I'm still doing it. So yeah, I'm technically into the fifth semester.
Five seasons. Just Enough for the City. I've heard your show. I actually just heard your show. I almost never got it because it was right in a Friday night when I was going out. I go early. I'm like an old person.
Yeah.
So I missed it. So I heard it for the first time the other night live here. And it was, it's a hip hop show mostly, mm-hmm. but it's a quality show. But what made you, or first let's jump back. What made you take KSFS to class?
You know, honestly, I was sitting in one of those intro to Becca classes and some people came in and started talking about their radio station. It was three really cute girls and they played, you've probably heard it. It's a demo of like their sex talk radio.
Oh, yeah,
and I was like, wow, I've never heard anything like this. This seems interesting. It sounds like it's really good quality. And so I was interested and I heard good things from some friends I made that first semester. And actually my first class, I sat next to the GM of the station, Tiffany Lintner. So that's how I knew her, and she was very radio driven from the get go. And so we came up taking 305 and 505, like all the radio classes together.
Okay.
Yeah. So it just, you know, I took a first semester with Malcolm Cecil and he was great. And then of course I met Jeff Jacoby after that, and Jeff turned into one of my major mentors in both school and life. And he's an unbelievable guy.
Yeah. He's I'm sure if you're listening, you know, but if you don't, he's the faculty advisor to our wonderful little station. Now, what are you most proud of, like looking back at your work, and I'm not just talking about as a manager, overall, yeah, your entire work here at KSFS, what are you most proud of?
Definitely the relationships I've built with other people, the staff and other, you know, all the KSFSers doing their shows. Obviously, like, I do feel like we have achieved a lot of things since I've been here. When I first came, this station was, you know, we didn't have any listeners pretty much, and we didn't have our act together, and we were still on ustream.com, and like we didn't have a way to track our listeners. And so like there have just been major steps, and I can't say that I'm the reason that happened, but I, you know, it was great to be a part of it and be working with a team of students trying to get that done.
Travis McKinnon, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Catch Travis's show, Just Enough for the City, Tuesdays, 10 to 11, only on KSFS.
Everybody listening to this song, put your cup in the air, what you sipping on. Whatever it is, I hope that it keeps you gone. Cause it's party time and ain't nobody going home or going wrong. So move your toes and your hips left and right, however it flows. Don't sit, cause tonight we're letting our souls just sift from the highest skyscraper to the smallest tent.
KSFS, embrace the chaos.